God is omniscient. He knows everything. And Peter tells us one specific thing that the Lord knows. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. The godly being His own believing people. And last time we said there were two ways that this word temptation can be understood. We looked at the first one when it speaks of those influences that would seek to draw us away from God and into sin, solicitations to evil. And today we want to look at the other form of temptation that the Lord knows how to deliver us out of. This word temptation also means trials and tribulations and sufferings and afflictions which are sent by God to us to test us and to prove us. Now God may use many different instruments or agents to tempt us, but yet because God is in control of all circumstances and because He's sovereign and that His providence determines all that comes to pass in our lives, it's really coming from Him. There are many second causes, but He's the first cause, and He has a purpose in them. And I said, it's to prove us. God told the Jews in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that that's why He sent them, instead of directly into Canaan from Egypt, He led them to a very difficult path that went through a wilderness, and that was not an accident. It says that when they went through the wilderness, their soul was very straitened by the difficulties of it. And yet God intended that for a reason. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, He said, "You shall remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." Notice, the Lord led you in the wilderness. And He had a reason for it. It said it was to humble thee and to prove thee, to put you to the test, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep His commandments or no. Right? God was revealing their hearts and giving them opportunity to show whether they would obey Him. Verse 3 says, "And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know." He's trying to show them, teach them something. "That man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." So He's teaching them that valuable lesson. We don't just need food for our bodies, we need God's word for our souls. And then down in verse 16 He says, "Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that He might humble thee and that He might prove thee." As He wanted to see what you were made of. He was applying these difficulties to test them, to examine them, to bring out what was in them, and to do thee good at thy latter end. So the end result would be their good. Now, one reason why these temptations are called temptations is that when God sends us difficulties, trials and troubles and afflictions, the devil is always right there, and he tries to use those things to get us to deny our faith, to give up our trust in God, to turn away from the Lord, and to act in a ways that God would not have us to act. In other words, while God is seeking to teach us and develop us and to do us good, the devil at the same time is using that very thing to try to trip us up and get us to fall and turn away from the Lord. That's why in Matthew 6, verse 13, when Jesus gave us a sample prayer and included within that prayer the kind of things we need to pray about on a daily basis, because we're always dealing with these things and have need of the Lord's help in these things. He says, and lead us not into temptation. All right, do not bring any unnecessary or any excessive temptation to us. Help us not to come into that. But deliver us from evil. In other words, that phrase there, deliver us from evil, is deliver us from the evil one. Whenever we come into temptation, the devil's right there to try to use it against us. Tell us God doesn't love us. You know, He's not with us. He doesn't care about us. He's not going to be there for us. He's failed us. And so that we'll say, oh, I guess I might as well give it up. And notice why he prays this way. Is the devil in control? No, God is. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The devil can't do any more to us than God permits. Remember, the devil had to get permission from God before he could afflict Job. God's the sovereign Lord. His kingdom is over all. He determines all that comes to pass by His providence. And the devil is completely within His control. And so we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, the first thing we need to understand about God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation is this. That means the godly get into temptation. You can't deliver out of something you're not in. And the reason I even say that, I might have mentioned it last time, is that a lot of people try to teach, if you're a Christian and if you're doing the will of God and following Him, then you won't have trials and troubles and afflictions. God will spare you of these things. And of course, when we think that way and when we do have trouble, the first conclusion we come is, well, either I'm not a Christian, or God's not there for me, He failed me, or the devil got the upper hand in this somehow, and such things. But the Bible is clear. It's the will of God that His people should be tempted. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. That's a must. If you don't want to have trouble, then don't try to go to heaven, because trouble will be your path there. And so again, this is how God has set it up. Let's look at 1 Peter. Chapter 1. It tells us we have an inheritance that is being reserved for us in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Well, what's going to happen between here and there? It's not going to be an easy path. Getting to heaven is very difficult. And it involves a lot of suffering. Verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God is going to keep you until you get to that inheritance that He has preserved for you in heaven. Kept how? Kept from any problems? Kept from any troubles? Kept from any hurts? Any pains or tears? No. Wherein you greatly rejoice. In other words, when you understand that your salvation is secured for you and that you will certainly receive it, that's a great joy. But though now, for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. In other words, you're feeling a lot of pressure. You know, you are heavy. You are being pulled down and depressed. Why? Because manifold temptations. That means many temptations of many kinds. Well, why is that? Verse 7. That the trial of your faith is being tested and proven, being much more precious than of gold that perishes. Now, faith is precious. But you know what? True faith is tried faith. He's saying the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. Now, when you have gold, you have to put it in the fire to test it, to make sure it's the real particle. Well, here he's saying, well, if you have faith, it needs to be put into the fire of temptation to be tested and proven and purified. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, and it will be. And fire hurts. It's hot. That's what makes us heavy. And yet he says, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Your faith in Christ and your salvation in him enables you to rejoice in trial. That's why James said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You're going to fall into them. So what should you do? Get depressed? Get discouraged? Throw up your hands, throw in the towel, give up? No. Don't get down. Rejoice, knowing that the trial of your faith worketh patience. And so our temptations do not come to us by chance, but they are sent to us by the providence of God. And he has a purpose in them. In Job chapter 5, he mentions this. And Job certainly, of course, this is Eliphaz speaking to Job. Verse 6. Although affliction comes not forth of the dust, now just that it doesn't come out of nowhere, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Right? We're born into a troubled life. Where does it come from then? From the Lord. And so we should go to him when we have these troubles. He says, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Lord, you sent it, you have a purpose in it, help me through it, and may your will be accomplished. Why does he send these? Well, just briefly, God sends trials to test our faith, to prove if it's the real item, not false faith. He sends it to exercise our graces. He sends them to mortify our corruptions. In other words, so our graces grow and our sins become less. He does it to develop our character, to make us more Christ-like. He does it to give us experiences of God's help so we can know what God can and will do for us. And then he does it to glorify himself by our deliverances out of our temptations. In other words, when God sends the trouble and then he brings us through it and gets us out of it and makes us better for it, that brings him glory to see what he can do. And it strengthens our faith when we experience these things in our lives. And so, as all things God sends, temptations are for our good. And what's he say in Romans 8:28? And we know that all things... Well, do you think that includes temptations? All things. That means everything. Nothing excluded. Temptations included. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And temptations are his purpose. Trials are not a sign of God's anger, but rather of his love and care. Even though the devil tries to convince us God is mad at us, he doesn't love us, it's just the opposite. What's Hebrews 12 say? Hebrews 12, verse 5 and 6. and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastenings of the Lord, which is what temptations are, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I don't know if you remember when you were a child getting spanked. Were you telling yourself, my parents love me. This is for my good. Probably not. But that's what we're supposed to do. When God chastens us. Look down at verse 10. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. He's doing it for our good, to make us like himself, holy as he is holy. What's James 1:12 say? Cursed is the man that endures temptation? No. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. Happy is that man. Favored of God is that man. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. And that's the end result, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. It's not to our destruction, to our benefit and ultimate salvation. And so, the great comfort Peter's giving us here is he's assuring us that God knows how to deliver us from temptations. They're not going to swallow us up and destroy us. They're going to be a help to us. And when God is done with them, he's going to bring us out of them. In Psalm 142 in verse 3, there's a great verse. Psalm 142, verse 3. When you're in the middle of a temptation, it seems overwhelming, like you'll never get out of it. It's going to be your end. He says there, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. God knew where we were. He knew where we were going. He knew where he was taking us. And even though there's snares and dangers along the way, in the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me, yet God would bring him through and bring him out. You knew it. Right when I was in the midst of total confusion and despair and perplexity. I had no idea what was going on, how this was going to turn out, how I was going to get through, and you knew all along. And you were going to get me there. Right? This knowledge of God, knowing how to deliver us out of temptation, it includes God's skill and wisdom. And again, as God is infinite, so does he have infinite skill and wisdom. He knows when, he knows how, and he knows why to deliver us. He knows when it would be best to deliver us and how best to do it, when we're ready for it and when it will have accomplished its purpose in our lives. He determines the lengths of our trials. He determines the kinds of our trials. He determines the severity of our trials, and he determines the best way for us to be out of our trials. That's his knowledge, not ours. His. That's why we can't lean into our own understanding, but trust the Lord with all our heart, and in all our ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct our paths. We can't direct ourselves. We can't find our way through that maze and get ourselves out of it. He has that skill and wisdom, and he's exercising it in all our temptations. And it also includes God's power and faithfulness. Now, some people know how to do something, but they can't get it done. God is able to deliver us. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. There it is. He said He'll do it. He always keeps His promise. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. So every time you think this is too much, I can't take it anymore, you know that's not true. He won't let that happen. So He won't give you anything you can't get through with His help. And He's there to help. But will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So you will be able to bear it because He won't let it get beyond that. And He will make a way of escape. You're not able. He's able. And He'll make you able as you trust Him for it. All right, this knowledge also includes God's purpose. All right, maybe God knows how to deliver me. Maybe He's able to deliver me, but does He want to deliver me? Is that His will? Yes, it is. It's God's will that we will be delivered. Look at Revelation 3. He says this in verses 10 and 11. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. I will. So He's revealed what His plan and purpose is to do that for us. Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly, hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. In other words, don't let go of your hold. Keep that fast hold by faith on the Lord and on His word, and you will eventually reach your goal and receive your crown. I will keep you from the hour of temptation. So it is His will to do that. And so in temptation, what are we to do? We're to trust in the Lord and commit ourselves and our situation to Him. And He will take care of it. And us. 1 Peter 4:19 tells us the thing to do. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. Suffering is according to His will. And so commit the keeping of your souls to Him in well-doing is unto a faithful Creator. Lord, it's Your will I suffer this way. I turn the situation over to You. I commit myself and my circumstance to You. Help me to keep doing what's right in Your eyes, in well-doing, and You'll be faithful. You will make the way to escape. And I may be able to bear it. And again, let's remember, our trust is in the Lord, not in ourselves. Sometimes because we can't figure out what to do or how to do it, or we're not able to do it, we get discouraged. I can't make it. I can't do it. It's not up to you to do it. What's He say? The Lord knows how to deliver. He knows how, and He's the one who does it. And not us. You do not know how. And so we are not able to deliver ourselves. We saw that in 2 Chronicles 20. That's a good place to look. 2 Chronicles 20. People of Judah are crying out to the Lord in prayer, led by their king Jehoshaphat, as they are under attack from their enemies. And what did they say? down in verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. Or we don't have any wisdom to figure out a plan of escape. We have no power to effect a plan of escape. But our eyes are upon thee. Our eyes are upon thee. And so, like it says in verse 9, we cry unto thee in our affliction. They cried out to the Lord in prayer. And you know what they claimed? Verse 6, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might? So that none is able to withstand thee. Art not thou our God? You know what they're saying? We have no power nor might. Lord, you have all power and might. Lord, we don't know what to do. Lord, you know just what to do. And he did it. He delivered them. Or Psalm 107. See, this is faith. This is how faith operates. It despairs of ourselves and puts our full confidence in God alone. Talking about people out on the ocean in the storms, verse 26, they mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Sounds like a hard time, like the things we go through. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. They have no idea what to do. I mean, how do you stop a storm? How do you keep from sinking? Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He delivers them. So let's, in patience, bear our trials. Look away from ourselves and put our trust in the Lord, and then in confidence cry out to the Lord for deliverance, and he will hear and answer our cries and do what he promised, because he is faithful. He is able. He knows how. And when we see him do it, our hearts will rejoice. Let's close in prayer.